United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, for a roll call, Mayor Tim Wilson and Mark Spohr are both absent tonight. Okay, and now for citizens' input, this is a portion of the meeting that we'd like to hear from the citizens on items that are not related to anything on the agenda tonight. I'll give you up to 5 minutes to speak for anybody that would like to speak. Marilyn? Could I please get you to state your full name and address for the record?
Marilyn Fackler, 10004 Road E, Southeast, Othello, Washington. And my purpose for coming tonight is to get permission from the City Council to use the city logo on the front of a coloring book. And I have a sample, not a finished thing, but just to see what I've been up to, if you want to pass that around. A few months ago, I was sent a coloring book by, it was a friend of my mother's that did a coloring book for the city of Woodinville. And she sent this to me and said, Marilyn, why don't you do one for Othello? So that's what I'm trying to do. And we have somewhat of a different style. This is a lady that's 93 years old and has put down her, it's kind of a history of Woodinville. I will read my letter that I'm supposed to give her, my reason for being here, and it says, to the city of Othello. See, I'd like to request permission to use the city logo in a coloring book. I am putting together a coloring book of Othello and surrounding area. All money received from the coloring book will go toward civic or charitable causes. I will receive no funds for my time and efforts. And that goes to the city. Are there any questions?
Does anybody have?
Well, just out of curiosity, I noticed that there's some story in the coloring book that's from Woodinville. Are you going to be including any?
Not as detailed as that. This was a very old lady's recollections of houses that used to be there and are gone. I was quite thrilled to receive it, but as when you look at it with a child's eye, it's not that interesting. And so I tried to put in, you know, the animals we have around here, the different industries, farming, orchards, and fishing. Anyway, there should be about 15 pages of colorable pictures, and you know, when they're folded and they're put on both sides, and I don't know. I've never done anything like this. So the only thing I don't have in my letter is I don't know how long this would go on. Once it gets printed. And hopefully some organization would like to be in charge of distributing it and selling it and whatnot. I was trying to figure out how much it would be, you know, would sell for, but I don't know. I haven't got to that point. I just know that to get anything printed, I did stop at Staples and talk to them, and I said I was going to be coming to see about getting permission to use the logo, and it wouldn't be a direct copy, it would be my drawing, but a better one than what's here, because it have the stuff around it. So I don't know how long this, if the coloring book was favorable and it kept reprinting or something like that, it might go on for some time, but I would promise not to put a Santa Claus riding the airplane or anything like that. It would be as accurate as possible. So. Oh, anyway, if it is something agreeable, you can send me a letter.
The council have any more comments on it? I think we all received that. A copy of the restrictions on the for our city level, our OMCs are. Is this something that you want to see further presumed on the agenda or further discussion?
I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, benefit the community and monies go back to the community. So it just seems like a win-win, other than the fact she's putting in all her time for free. You don't
so
see that.
Would you like me to bring it in before it's printed to get the, to make sure it's something you'd want your city to represent?
I definitely.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
Definitely if our local is going to be on it. It'd be something that we'd have to approve. I'll just read really quick. OMC 1.04.050 would designate the city logo as a trademark property of the city, except as authorized by the city council. So we'll take action of the city council before the city council. The only other group that I know of that has used it has been the Centennial.
I would encourage the council to include in that motion the stipulation that proceeds from any sale not be used for profit, but maybe as represented, so that it's not creating any kind of gifting issue, since this is as your ordinance identifies as valuable state property.
Okay, I guess we'll bring it back up at another meeting. Approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Gina. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Consent agenda. Do I have approval for the consent agenda tonight?
So moved.
First, Charles.
Second,
Mark. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Yes. Okay. First item on the agenda is pet rescue. Ernie Summers.
I'm Ken Simmons with I'm with Pet Rescue 2. I'm just going to introduce Ernie since I've been here before. Ernie is basically committee chairman in charge of our project that we're working on. And what we want to do is kind of give you an overall idea of what we are planning for the next couple of years here. So, and Ernie's in charge of that. So this is Ernie Summers.
Thanks, Ken. I have to apologize for my voice. I started coming down with a cold Thursday, but that's probably to your good, as that rescue can tell you when I start talking about my passion, it's hard to shut me up sometimes, so hopefully this will kind of keep it short for you guys and gal. First of all, I want to thank the Othello City Council for letting Pet Rescue use their facility, City Pound, or whatever you want to call it. While it's not a very good facility, if it wasn't for us being able to use that after their facility burned down, I hesitate to say that Pet Rescue probably would not be in business today, or if it was, it'd be just operating out of a few houses. So We really, really appreciate that. But that being said, we think we can do better for the animals of this community and this and this county in that. If you haven't been to your city pound, and has everybody been to it recently or in that there? Yeah, I know Ken has. He just installed some windows in that there. If you haven't been there, you should go take a look at it. When I first took an animal there that was abandoned out at our house, and maybe I guess I'm supposed to say where my address and all that. I moved here 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and I live out 10 miles out on McManaman Road, just past the pot holes at 2773 West McManaman. My wife and I moved here for our grandkids. I never moved from Omaha, Nebraska, and I never dreamed my big city daughter would ever marry a small city country boy here in Othello, but we wound up here in Othello. I also have four, and they have two grandkids now, and I have four grandkids over in Duval, so I chose this area over the Duval area, and I probably don't need to explain to any of you why I did it. I haven't regretted a minute of it in that there. In that, pet rescue, right now, and did everybody get a copy of this in that there? Pet Rescue, right now, as of last year, we adopted out 235 dogs, 50 cats, and I suspect this one horse was not from the city pound, but that this many animals were adopted out of your city pound. The way they have made the city pound work is there is a lot of foster homes, and you see people out there that probably don't even want to tell you how many foster dogs they're taking care of right now in that there. I think it's an amazing number. I was on the board of directors of Nebraska Humane Society in Omaha. And man, on a percentage-wise, they smoke even the Nebraska Humane Society in that on it. They also paid for spaying and neutering of a lot of these animals. We don't want anything to go out spayed and neutered. But when we adopt these animals out, they're mainly adopted out over the internet. The animals from here are winding up in Seattle, Spokane, Tri-Cities, and I know they all these areas have humane societies, but people like to come to this area and get their animals. Well, what this is doing is the animals are leaving our community. We're not able to track how well they're being taken care of after we adopt them out. They're not buying dog and cat licenses. I don't know how significant that is to Othello's income in that there, but they're not buying dog food for them and pet toys from Walmart and Dell's and that type of thing. They're not taking them to Broadway to have them taken care of. A lot of potential income is leaving our community and going to Seattle, Spokane, Tri-Cities, and wherever. In that there. What we want to do with the new facility is have adoption done locally out of the facility, and we're not talking about just any old runs, outdoor runs and that type of thing that we have right now. We're talking about a nice looking, it's out in the country, it's between just right north of the arena, rodeo arena, between there and Bench Road. We don't know just for sure yet how many acres we have, And in truth, we don't have these acres yet. They've been promised to us, but we're having to survey and plat, and when we get all that done, they will issue a quit claim deed to us. So I may be jumping the gun just a little bit. We won't be initiating a capital fund drive until we have this deed in our hands, that type of thing. Although they assure us it's a done deal, we need that. What I propose, and Doyle's not here tonight, but he actually was with me when we met with Eamon Thursday and went over it. But if you go to the last of the page that has the drawings on it, and that there, and you see an area that says city pound and quarantine area. This area, as we design it right now, would have two big runs. It would have 2 4-foot long kennels and 4 2-foot wide kennels in it, where Doyle, the police department, and this area is isolated from, you know, pet rescue. Excuse me there. Isolated for pest rescue, intentionally so. So if any of these animals have fleas, ticks, diseases, we can get them cleaned up before we move them over into the facility. And we would be moving them into the facility just as soon as we could. As I understand it, it's a 3-day waiting period. In Omaha, it was a 5-day waiting that the Humane Society had to keep their animals in that there. Then we'd be moving them over into the rehabilitation area, and then showing them, and people would actually come in to look at what animals we have. We would be there to show them off. Think of it as us as used car salesmen, and these animals back there are the used cars. And I'm not insulting used car people if there's any of them here. But we want our classy show up front, and we'll try to take them back to, you know, the other ones in that there. But we will, I hope at least half of the dogs. I don't want to cut down on our internet adoptions, but I want to increase our in facility adoptions to at least equal, if not exceed, the internet adoptions and that there. Also, and Ken is especially interested in that, we would have 12 cat condos just as you enter the thing that have glass backs. It would have little kitties. Somebody with a family walks in and their kids see a little kitty there. They're going to start talking to their parents right away, and their kids are going to sell them on, a lot of them are going to walk out with a cat as well as a dog, you know, that type of thing, just because we're displaying it in that there. Again, I'm not talking about I turned in some things on kind of how we're going to approach the capital fund drive. I'm not going to talk about that tonight because we aren't into our capital fund drive. It's just, this is, on that part, it's just a heads up to you people that we probably will be coming back and talking to you about the capital fund drive and potential for donations from, you know, from you for it. But again, we're not doing that right now. So any questions on the plans, or actually you can ask me some questions about the capital fund drive in that there. And if you think 2 runs, 6 dog kennels are enough to meet your needs for 3-day stays for your picked up strays and that here. I just know we can do a much better job of taking care of our animals, our dogs and cats. And we will be including, with that large of an acreage, hopefully we will be including a large animal, especially horses, but you know, other animals. I know the Sheriff's Department, to one of the members, has indicated interest of us doing more, you know, for them too. Now, I should mention that I know Dan and Mark already. I guess I knew Mark was on the city council, but I'd have treated you a lot nicer, Dan, if I knew you were on the city council. Ken put in our windows for our showers and our cabinets in our house, so met him already. Tim, I haven't met, but his son-in-law was a contractor for our house, so small town, you get to know. I only knew one city council member personally in the Omaha City Council, so it's nice to know at least, you know, this many personally. No.
Well, really appreciate what Pet Rescue is doing, and especially for the city. They provide a really valuable service that helps us actually free up our code enforcement officer to do other duties in the city. Is there any questions or comments?
Well, if you have any questions, I'm sure some of you know how to get in touch with me and that there too. And I appreciate you letting me speak here tonight.
We hope to see you back in the future really soon.
What's that?
We hope to see you back in the future.
Oh, yeah. You will. You will.
Item 4.2, contract ratification with police line officers. Amen.
We have good news for the city council tonight. The line officers for the Teamsters Union have ratified the contract. I'd like to thank Gina Darrow and Ken Kaler and Dan Deaver for their hard work on the committee through all the long negotiations that we had. The issue came back around basically full circle. The concept was voted a week ago by the line officers, and it is exactly the same as the dispatchers and the sergeant agreement. Basically, the elements of the new contract will be, and by the way, there's a typo on the very front page on your board docs. It says 2011 to 2012. It should say 2011 to 2013. It is a three-year contract. The elements of the contract are no wage increase for 2011, medical increase maximum of $1,059.95 per month, retroactive to January 1st. The 2012 and 2013 will be a 50% split share for medical between the employee-employer. For 2012 and for 2013, wage increases, again, the same as the other two bargaining units, 0.75 to 2.5 CPI all cities west. The vote was taken to the Secretary of Teamsters, who consummated a committee to cast the final vote. Actually, it was a tie-breaking vote. So with that, we would ask that the City Council ratify the contract, the Teamster contract with the police line officers.
With that, do I hear a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the contract with the Teamsters line officers?
I so move.
I'll say Ken first.
And Ken, before you take a vote, ask for a discussion, please.
Yes. Charles, second. Any discussion?
Yes. I know you tried to be brief on this, but point number three, 2012, I'm assuming that's a 50-50 split for any increase in medical costs.
For increase, yes.
How do you address that for 2013 at all, or?
Yes, that's what I said, but I apologize. I should have said the increase on there for 2012 and 2013. You're
okay.
Exactly right.
Okay.
This is basically the exact same contract as the sergeant's.
Yes, and the dispatcher.
And dispatch. Okay.
So we actually, as I said, we came full circle, or we
started, right back to where we started. And the next step, had the contract not been ratified by the line officers, the next step would have been arbitration. We did go through mediation, which didn't cost us anything. Arbitration would have.
Any more discussion? I have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous vote. Okay, 4.3, well 5 change order. Name it again.
Recall several months ago we had well problems. We not only had one problem, we didn't have two problems, we had three problems. And we have taken months to work through those with the consensus of the council to move forward. We have well 5 and well 6 to close. Well number 5 has one change order. If you recall, several months ago, we talked about the need to move the transformer outside the building onto a concrete path. When that was done, the council said they wanted to upsize some things in the motor, which caused the VISTA to say you need to upsize the wiring in the well house itself. Now, it has not been determined whether or not that was actually the wiring, was actually the cause of our previous problems or not, but that has been upsized. So to give you a breakdown, and the total change order is $8,970.10. This has been accomplished to get the well back into service. The cost for VISTA to bring the new transformer in was approximately $2,700, and you can see that in some other financial reports that Mike has. But when the well was upsized, VISTA said all the internal wiring and the well house had to be replaced. That resulted in the additional, let me get my amount here, $5,270. Councilmember Kaler asked today about engineering costs and about the process. There were no increases in engineering costs in this process at all. I know, Ken, that was one of your concerns. And so I checked today, as I told you I would. The cost was solely for wiring and the concrete pad and the little roof over the transformer on the concrete pad. It is, again, after the fact, to ask for a change order, but we had no numbers until late last week to bring to the City Council. It is a change order within the percent parameters of the total project that does not require us to rebid that piece of it. So with that, we would ask that the City Council approve change order number 1 relative to well number 5 rehabilitation.
So any questions or comment?
I have one comment here. As we said, we didn't actually know the price of what this was going to cost us. I know we talked about the transformer, and we had somewhere between $27,000 and $3,000 there. As far as the rest of that, I don't think we ever had an exact figure. And I think the city old fellow should write Green and Osborne a letter, let it stay. We do not do business with you. We want an estimate of what those extras are going to be before we commit to these change orders. And especially after the job is already done, then they come back to us and say, well, we got a price here of so much for a change order. And this is not the first time this happened. It's happened before here. And I think that they should be aware that we're aware of what they're doing here, and we need to know those figures somewhere in the ballpark before they actually do this work. It's just my little quirk, but it's just.
I'd be glad to write that letter.
As far as the change order, I guess we just have to need it to get another.
Well, 5 is up and running, isn't it?
Yes.
Been okayed and online?
Yes.
And, okay. And I do support Mr. Cato on his comments, and the poster child for that is the ball field lights. When Mr. Snyder specifically asked after we bought the lights, would $70,000 be enough for installation? And the engineering representative said it should be more than enough in this economy, and it ended up costing $125,000 for installation. So they're missing the mark a couple times.
I agree. It's time to move through the process from verbal to a written. And I've done that one other time and copied the council a letter to GNR.
But as Kenta, that's kind of a little sidebar, but I guess we support this at this point.
Thank you.
But again, I agree with Mark and Ken. All of a sudden, you got a job done, and somebody comes along and they do another job, and then they add it on later. That, like I say, that's not the way you do business, unless they want to come take it out for free. So the letter, I think, has to be written.
I agree. Thank you for your support for that. We're going to need to set the record on this.
Do we want to add this to our motion with the approval of the will that a letter be sent to Gray and Osborne?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Second.
First and second on the motion?
I'll accept the
motion.
Any other discussion?
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous vote.
Thank you, and I'll copy the council the letter.
4.4, award bid for gas and diesel services.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem. The city staff went out for bid. This is our annual three-year contract for bid on fuel prices. Now, fuel includes both gas and diesel. If you notice through the written proposals that the bids are pretty similar with two exceptions. The city bid four types of fuels, four grades, including one diesel. We had one bidder that was not a responsible bidder because he only bid on three of the types of fuels, not the fourth, which was a grade of fuel, gasoline, that is the most gallonage that the city uses, over 500 gallons a year. He did not bid on that. Therefore, he's considered a non-responsive bidder because we asked for that to be bid. On his bid document, you'll see he even says cannot provide. His bid, however, and this is Connell Oil, his bid, however, was lowest. And everything is balanced against what they call the rack price, which is their wholesale price. Connell's bid was 0.05 cents per gallon. Lawrence Oil, on the other hand, is a responsible bidder, but their price is slightly higher. They're 0.075 cents per gallon. However, they are the responsible bidder, and the recommendation from staff is to award to Lawrence Oil. Now, just to round out another clarification, under budget it says $1,634. That's wrong. It's actually just over $58,000 is what we spend between Public Works and the Police Department on fuel annually. So that's what this contract is worth, is just over $58,000. So with that, we would ask that the City Council determine that Connell Oil was a non-responsive bidder and award to Lawrence Oil.
Any other questions or comments?
I have one comment here. I think we went through this same thing in our last contract 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
I think the same thing was in effect at three, but not the fourth fuel that we needed, and I think basically ended up the same way.
Besides diesel, are we just talking octane levels?
Yes. Different grades of fuel, yes.
Price is everything, but you gotta have the right fuel.
I'm sorry?
I said price is everything, but you gotta have the right fuel.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Do I hear a motion to declare Connell Oil Incorporated a non-responsive bidder and award the bid to Lawrence Oil Incorporated for 0.075 a gallon above the rack price?
Make that motion.
I'll second.
First from Mark, second from Gina. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous vote.
Thank you.
Approval of the fireworks permit. Debbie?
The fireworks permit application has been submitted by Western Display Fireworks and was reviewed by the Adams County Fire District. and has been approved by them with the conditions listed in the memo from the fire chief, Fire Chief Liebach. Their submittals for the insurance criteria meets our requirements, and the pyrotechnic operator is properly licensed. The city budgeted $2,500 for fireworks out of the general fund. The fireworks are planned during the 4th of July events for Monday, July 7th. Based upon the report from the fire chief, the staff recommends that the council approve the fireworks display permit application submitted by Western Display Fireworks. Any questions?
Questions? Do I hear a motion to approve the fireworks display permit?
Move.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Just a comment on the security when the ball field overhead lights come on. Eamon, I would recommend that the timer be set back that night, because they usually finish at 11, and in prior years they haven't been able to turn them on, and then maybe give the fire department or some representative a bank of keys so they can turn the lights on.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of the things that the pyro technician of the show, after the show, he has to visibly walk the whole grounds to see if there is any unfired shells in the area. So that lighting is very important.
I thought our volunteer citizen could show.
If I'm here, I'll be happy to. But I only have one key.
Don't tell them how many you have. What is it?
I won't even tell you, I don't know where mine
are
right now.
Okay, we've got a first and a second on the motion. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous. Uh, 4.6, resolution to accept the Lions Park lighting project.
Well, we're back to talk about the ballpark lighting a little bit. Recall on May 9th, Terry Clements gave a presentation to the City Council, and through discussions it was discerned that we really weren't done with the project, so how could we accept it as a final project? So the two elements from that night, number one, were the keys, as Councilmember Spohr mentioned, had not all been made and distributed, and we didn't even have them, actually. The second issue was a technical issue relative to the cameras in Kiwanis Park. So back to the first issue, it has been resolved. As a matter of fact, it was never part of the contract. It was a separate issue that Terry made with another contractor just to provide keys. It was never part of the original contract. So that's solved. And the other issue relative to camera sighting and calibrating to make sure they work properly in Kiwanis Park has been completed by our IT department. You will notice that the amount of the contract budgeted with some change orders was $148,481, and the contract actually came in lower than that at $145,050.53. So you have before you a resolution accepting the Lions Park lighting project. If there's any questions.
Was determined that lighting up the new basketball court didn't get included in the bid?
Thank you. I apologize for not answering that. I think I wrote a memo, but I'm not sure it's out yet. The answer to that is no. That's the short answer. It was not included in the bid. The council identified $10,000 for basketball field lighting to be put in this project. As the project was being developed, it was determined that there wasn't enough for the lighting, let alone the basketball courts. So we have an answer for you, though, that's going to be very, very inexpensive. So the lighting project has been completed just as we asked for, with a couple changes, moving the fence back and a couple other things. So the ball field lighting, if we can kind of move to that for just a second, the basketball lighting. We have the old lights from, they were taken, the intermediate lights that were taken down at the ball fields. We can put those, the city crew can install those at the basketball courts. The only thing that might be a small expenditure for an electrician to come out and check the wiring to make sure it works for those lights, what we have down below.
But we have all the equipment to set the poles and do that ourselves.
There's, to make it even easier, I don't know how this works, but you know, there's two poles between the courts, and they're just shining on the old court, shining to the west. So if you just got two up there shining to the east, you'd halfway lit the other basketball court.
Right. Okay. So
I don't know if they can take advantage of that or not.
Yeah. Terry said that he thinks we'll all be very happy with these lights when they go up.
Okay.
Because they're very, very strong lights, and we're good well-lit fields.
Perfect. Because they're using them. Those basketball courts are being used.
You know, since you mentioned that, I wanted to make a comment. I go up to the park almost every night and just watch play basketball. If you look around other city parks, their nets on their basketball hoops are chains. Ours are the cloth ones that you see indoors. The reason why they're chains in other parks is because they're vandalized. People here, the people that use them, they police them. They won't let anybody destroy our nets. And that's a compliment to our community. It really is. We've never, in 9 years almost that I've been here, put chains up. They've always been the cloth nets that they really like.
Quick question. Are those lights going to be put on a timer?
Yes.
Or on a switch that they can switch them off when they're done?
That'll mean one more key to you, Mark.
Well, yeah, that.
Well, what is the ones up at the hockey? I know that they're just a switch that you turn on for so much time, I think.
And then, it ticks
then
down
you have to
and
turn,
turns
yeah,
off.
Yeah. That would be ideal.
You can manually push them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's the opportunity up there with tennis court lights and that, because there are a lot of times tennis courts lights on and nobody up there, and we'll have to develop some kind of system that works. And something like the hockey rink is probably all you need. The disadvantage with the hockey rink lights is why we went to such trouble with the ball field lights is still something could just walk by and just out of spite or stupidness just hit the off button.
Well, I think after a certain time, after 10 o'clock, they shut off and they can't be turned back on. Because Chris plays hockey there all the time. And so they can turn them on until 10 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock it just shuts off. And that would be ideal.
It's like a dryer in a laundromat. Mm-hmm. You turn it, and it ticks down, and then it shuts off.
Any further discussion?
But just know, we did that night after we left the last discussion. Me and Terry went up to Kiwanis Park, and I don't know if you've gone by at night, but it's pretty well lit up now. Some progress was made in making that park more secure, and I was surprised. The park, I think the sign said the Kiwanis shuts down at 10. And I thought we were doing a dusk closure on that park. Does anybody remember that discussion?
I recently went through the code with Terry on that, and that's not what it says in the code. There may be a sign in Kiwanis that says that.
Because Lions is open until 11, but I think Kiwanis said it was open until 10. But I thought we said it was going to close at dusk, so...
Thank you, Debbie said it does say 10. So.
Okay, so I don't know, that might be research, but I think we talked about, well, I guess with the lighting and the gazebos, maybe 10 o'clock is more reasonable. So, but it is lit up a lot more. If you specifically notice the gazebos and tennis courts and back in there, there is a change in the lighting and it looks a lot more secure.
Right, and Kiwanis Park was designed as a passive park.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, and that's maybe why the time is different.
Yeah, right. No, it's a good time. We need to, that doesn't have people driving by as much as Kiwanis or as Lions Park. So
right.
I agree with that timing.
Okay, with that, do I hear a motion for a resolution to accept the Lions and Kiwanis Park lighting project?
So moved.
First, Dan.
Second.
Second, Gina. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 4.7, resolution to adopt the full concession fees.
Thank you. The City Council Pool Committee of Council Members 4, Gina, I forgot the third one. Is it you, Ken? Thank you. Council Member Ken Johnson.
reviewed, and again, I apologize because Mark Spore wasn't at our last meeting, but we met at the local hospital. We had lunch and reviewed all the fees relative to last year's revenue that was severely lacking. By the way, just as a passing comment, yesterday at City Pool, revenue was over $2,000 for one day, which is pretty good. The pool was packed yesterday.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
Wow.
Yes. So the sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have in your packets a copy. Show this one, Mike. This is a current list of items in a concession stand, and you can see there are old prices, and then lines drawn through them with the new prices. Yep, that one. This was a result of the meeting that we had. The basic premise that the committee used was to take the cost at 100% and then round up to the next quarter. So it's 50 cents, it'd be $1.25 would be the end cost. So your next slide, if you can go to the resolution. The resolution reflects these costs as is recommended by the pool committee. And again, the formula for this was cost plus 100% rounded to the next quarter. And that obviously was for ease of change making for some of these people that can't count change back, which is a problem. But we have cash registers now that tell them how much to put back. If you go to the bottom of that slide, Mike, and put it towards the top. Because during the year, things happen, and a council meeting isn't always readily available, we did put a caveat that all items not listed will be priced at cost plus 100% and cost rounded up to the nearest 25 cents. That's if we get a slug of people wanting something, we want to try something different. We use the same formula to determine the cost for it. So if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer, or the pool committee. You also have another breakdown in there showing the big spreadsheet. And this was something that we looked at, but we did not use. This is a spreadsheet that identified cost per item. And then we looked at 130%, 150%, 180%, and 200% increased costs. And again, the formula the committee used was not this one. It was cost plus 100% rounded to the nearest quarter. So with that, we would ask that you consider adoption of the resolution establishing concession fees at the swimming pool.
Is there any comments or questions?
The only comment I have about this is like my definition of micromanagement. Is there any way we can just let the committee do this in the future and not have to bring it to council?
If the council can establish that authority to a committee.
That would be my preference. I don't.
I agree with you. That's why I put that caveat in. For anything else, it just goes by the formula.
Right.
That's the way we did it before.
And I agree with you too, Mark. You know, I don't see it necessary to bring it back every year to take care of what we charge for concessions. I think it would be much easier to use that formula and use that every year.
But otherwise, in principle, it's fine with me.
Sounds reasonable here.
Any other comment? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution establishing the pool concession fees as presented?
So moved.
First from Strauss. Second from Mark. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous vote.
Again, thank you.
4.8 has been moved to the June 27th. 4.9, resolution declaring 4th of July as Independence Day. Dan or Gina, who's taking the lead?
Dan.
Well, I guess I'm old enough to figure that Independence Day on the 4th of July was a celebration of the separation of the 13 states from England. And that celebration was designed for that reason. It was not designed as a Patriots Day or anything like that. It was Independence Day when we attained independence from England. As long as that, as it continues that as a federal holiday, I don't see any reason to change it. To say, to make it a Patriots Day, we have a Patriot Day in September. And somebody said, well, that's patriot, and this is patriots. I think we're playing the semantics here. You know, one's plural, one's singular. If you put the comma in the right place, it becomes possessive. So, you know, one Patriot or Patriot's Day ought to be enough, and a 4th of July is a 4th of July. It's been that way since it was established. How many years ago? 1870. I think we need to keep it that way. That's my feeling about it. I talked to Gina, and she and I agree. So we would ask the council to formally recognize the established 4th of July each year as Independence Day in the city of Belton.
I agree with you 100%.
Does anybody remember the background why we changed it? It was a Chamber of Commerce.
It was a Chamber of Commerce to change it. We didn't change it.
Because it didn't look right on the shirt.
They wanted it shorter.
They wanted it shorter to print on the flyers.
The city didn't. The chamber did.
Right.
I guess they can call it whatever they want.
It's
yep.
Birthday, why not keep it?
Yeah. We already have a name for it.
We'll start guessing what holiday is what here.
Memorial Day, Flag Day, Armed Forces Day, all those kinds of things. And I think 4th of July is 4th of July, and that's the way it all goes.
I agree. Independence Day has always been the 4th for me. And I took a look up it really quick. You were talking about plural. The Patriot Day and Patriots Day, there is two different holidays already. Patriots Day is in Massachusetts, and Patriots Day in Maine. It's a civic holiday commemorating the anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord. That's Patriots Day. And then Patriot Day, by a vote, joint resolution, 71 approved by the House, 407-0, on October 25th, 2001, by Congress for the remembrance of September 11th, that it was officially recognized as Patriot Day. And I see all good intentions of the chamber, what they were trying to do and honor the servicemen. But I think we could do that because those servicemen fought for the independence and still do. And I think there's very much respect still there. Did everybody get a chance to see the resolution in front of them? Do we have a motion to accept the resolution to declare?
Will we accept the resolution, make the 4th of July formally recognized, establish Independence Day, and save the fall.
Got a first, Dan? Second?
I'll second.
Second, Ken? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous vote. Four point 10, ordinance to amend the 2011 budget. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. At the March 14th regular council meeting, City Council approved an increase of $130,000 in the park lighting budget for 2011. At the April 25th regular council meeting, City Council approved two items. One was change order number one to the park lighting contract in the amount of $2,261.70. And of course, added to the 130, it brings it up to $132,261.70. And at that meeting, council also approved a separate contract in the amount of $11,424.82 to extend the fence 28 feet to match the relocation of the light poles. At the May 9th regular council meeting, City Council approved change order number two to the park lighting contract in the amount of $4,795.11. So this increase brings the total for the lighting contract to $137,056.81. And these four items total a 2011 general fund budget amendment of $148,482. The second item is, council approved that at the April 25th meeting, the Columbia Street Stormwater Project. And this project will increase expenditures in the 2011 Real Estate Excise Tax Fund 135, by $86,975. So in total, this budget amendment will change the general fund by $148,482 in expenditures, and the real estate excise tax fund by $86,975. And it'll take care of those two projects. Are there any questions?
Can I add one more? Can we also add this $8,900 that we had on this change order that we just passed today? Can we add that to that?
The $8,900 was for?
Well, five.
Oh, that's a different fund. Well, it is a different fund. It isn't shown on here anywhere, but it could be, we could include that if you want to make it as part of the.
If you make it part of the motion and everybody understands it wasn't in writing, but we're going to add it.
I think there's some other changes coming that I have to also include in that fund, and so we could roll it all together at a different meeting. There's going to be more changes even to the general fund as we move along because of the wage, the contract negotiations and all the wage stuff. It's going to increase our expenditures in that area, and there's a couple other things, and so I'd like to roll it all together and bring it to council with an in-depth explanation of what's going on and kind of take care of it. Hopefully, it'll take care of it for the end of the year. If that.
I was just trying to save you going through the process again.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
increase the budget of $130,000. As I mentioned earlier, the project involved buying the lighting and then doing the installation. And as I recall, there was $70,000 carryover for the lighting. So the amount it increases is the difference between 130 and that 70,000.
That is correct. That 70 actually was carried forward in fund balance. We didn't actually budget it for the year. So. And when we did the math originally to do the 130, we showed all of that, and that is correct.
So we wanted to show all of it to the council tonight, so it didn't look like there was 70,000 back someplace. It got carried forward in the fund balance, but not in the budget.
Was it just a general fund balance?
Yes, okay. That is correct.
Okay.
Any other questions for? Do I hear a motion to approve the changes as presented to amend the 2011 budget?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Dana first. Charles second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Unanimous vote. Thank you.
Unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? New business? Mark?
There's been rumors that the fireworks are going to happen on Saturday this year because the 4th is on Monday. Is there any truth to that rumor, or is everything happening on Monday?
The permit reflects the 4th.
Actually on Monday. Okay.
Yes.
change it anymore. Stan, you're sticking to the holidays.
I just wanted to make sure when I'm talking to people.
Pretty soon I'll start changing Christmas.
Any other new business? Okay, mayor's announcements. Traffic signals should be up and running this week. You notice the one at Broadway and Main is going now. Instead of being a four-way red,
they're working good.
Well 6 is being tested, test pumped, and sample taken this week. Public Works and the Police Department are switching to Verizon for cost savings of approximately $3,000 annually and for improved service.
And excuse me, Mayor, Mark, actually we did dive into the bills and found that there were several plans that needed to be changed and some other issues that brought up this review and the change by the Police Department and Public Works. So you should see some differences in the public bills.
I told you.
No.
Yeah, and I would keep looking beyond the police department because, I mean, going through the warrants, there's like three different bills and they're an inch thick and it's just, if we can consolidate somehow or make it easier, there, I think there's still opportunities, but it's nice to see as we're looking and taking advantage of at least one opportunity.
July 4th is on a Monday council meeting, workshop. Next month, does the council want to cancel it or move it to the 5th?
Do we traditionally just move them to the 5th when there's a holiday?
Yes.
Or move them to the Tuesday?
Tuesday following.
Can we plan on moving it to the 5th? And if it's real light, like it was that one, we just skip it? Because it's a workshop anyway.
But if we've got some things that need to be discussed.
Yeah, the mayor's going to call them.
Yeah, obviously that was the case that was 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Is there any more discussion before the council tonight? Meeting's adjourned.
I was going to call you, and I didn't get the trimming of the church.